All right, welcome back again, everybody. Very excited to talk to our next guest. It's a real pleasure to have Nico Ali Walsh joining us here on the program. As Nico, grandson of Muhammad Ali, professional boxer, has been doing some pretty awesome work. The Muhammad Ali Act has been in the news a lot. It has been in front of Congress about some changes that TKO is trying to get voted upon it or additions. Nico doesn't want his grandfather's name posted towards that or any of the changes. So let's talk to him a little bit about it. Nico, thanks for the time, man. Really appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's a real pleasure, man. First of all, really good job in front of Congress. That feels like a very intimidating thing to do when you have to go there and explain yourself to all that. Can you tell us a little bit about just how that all came about for you wanting to speak and putting your thoughts down of why you felt it necessary to speak in front of them to, you know, push back on any of these changes that are being put forth by Zuffa, TKO, and that whole ordeal to try and change boxing?
Honestly, I didn't want to speak in front of Congress. I got word last minute about the Senate hearing, and I found out that Oscar De La Hoya was going. He contacted me, and I was going to go just to support, just to be there and witness it. But then the Senate found out that I was going just to support Oscar, and they wanted me to testify as well. So it was maybe with a week before I went that I had to make a testimony. I had to write a speech and just educate myself to the oak degree on everything related to the Revival Act.
That's kind of where I wanted to go with it. Like, how much were you familiar with it? I'm sure everybody's heard of it. Like, that's kind of on the outskirts of boxing, yeah. But like diving into something like that, was that daunting? Was that intimidating at all? How was that experience?
Of course. Yeah, no, it's speaking in front of the government is extremely daunting. It's very, scary. It was nerve wracking, and I had no idea what I was doing in terms of being in front of the U.S. government and speaking on such a major platform. So I was definitely nervous, but I felt it was very important for me to say something in particular because they're exploiting my grandfather's name to push this new law. And of course, Ali that's my name as well. So it didn't sit right with me that they were doing that without me saying anything at all.
So where do things stand right now? Could you give our audience just a sense of where things are and if people, I guess, could educate themselves? What are the things that you want people to know about this and why you're so against having your grandfather's name attached to it?
So for the people who don't know what the Ali Act is, the Ali Act, the full name is the Muhammad Ali Boxing Reform Act. And it was an act that my grandfather put in place while he was here to protect fighters. It gives fighters a lot more freedom. It gives fighters a lot more rights so that promoters can't exploit fighters and they can't just take advantage of fighters, especially financially. Because my grandfather was one of the very many fighters that got taken advantage of during his time as a pro. And they're just millions are stolen from these fighters all the time. Then my grandfather put the Ali Act in place. It became a law here in the United States, and it's protected fighters since it's come out. Now Zuffa is coming along and trying to basically monopolize the sport of boxing the same way that the UFC is the monopoly in MMA. So they've come along and to do that, to make Zuffa boxing the monopoly in boxing, currently it's illegal. So to make it legal, they would have to change the act that my grandfather put in place, and that's what they're doing. And they're calling it the Ali Revival Act, but it shouldn't have his name in it if you're going against what he stood for.
Yeah, and the thing that I find I'm very skeptical about it with Zuffa is, you know, being a guy who's a fan of both sports, UFC and boxing, you know, UFC, one of the things, you're kind of just getting into the second generation, third generation of the sport's history, whereas boxing, you're talking literally goes back, you know, a century plus and has all of that lineage to it. And I just don't know that even the people who love the sport of boxing need to be thrown that it's in a new league to make it seem like, hey, this is what matters. And it does feel like, I don't know, inauthentic that this league is coming together to try and make it seem like, oh no, this is going to, so everybody can direct of who the best boxers are. Where I do feel like there's a bit of, people do understand that boxing has a lot of different guys who can come from different avenues to be the best. I'm failing always to see it with this. Like, I'm trying to keep an open mind in fighting because I see a lot of different sports come around, but I fail to kind of see with Zuffa what they're bringing to the table, you know, as far as like what is the thing that's really changing it. Whereas with UFC, obviously it was a new sport that did need a home for people to look upon and say, hey, this is the best for this new age sport that's coming together. Have you heard anything from them that you find decent, like that you say, like, that could work, like there are benefits there?
Of course, Zuffa's not 100% bad. Nothing is 100% bad. They're adding health benefits to fighters. So, for like example, fighters will be covered, say 4 weeks before their fight, they'll be covered with like health insurance before their fight, like during camp, basically. That's great. That's awesome. That's something that could be added into the current Ali Act. That's not something that you would need to change the entire act and then add that at the bottom to make it sound better, because that's what they're doing right now. They're adding the health, the obviously beneficial health benefits. They're adding that and making it seem like what they're doing is for the fighters and for the sport. It's not. The health benefits are just about all that is good that they're trying to change. And you don't need to change the current Ali Act to add health benefits. You can revise the current Ali Act and just add the health benefits. It doesn't require you changing the entire law.
So, Nico, how has this process, has this affected your fight career at all? Because you're 25 years old, you're very much getting the prime of it kind of lifted for yourself. But this is obviously, I'm sure, a big mental toll on you as well. Have you found that to be an issue as far as either getting fights or preparing for fights? Is it taking stuff too much off your plate to focus on training? How has that affected you?
There's the reason that I'm the only active boxer that's speaking out on this is because a lot of boxers, I mean, all the boxers are afraid to say what they feel. That's because speaking out has professional consequences, and speaking out, you can lose on opportunities. And we know that the likelihood of Zuffa and TKO taking over the sport of boxing is high, because at the end of the day, you would need President Trump's approval to change the law. And Dana White is best friends with Trump. There's a fight coming up in a couple of days with the UFC fighting on the White House lawn. So people think that this is not a fight at all. They're assuming that Zuffa is just going to take over boxing with no fight. But I think it's worth a fight, and I believe that we can actually make change. Me and my team, we're talking to senators almost every single day, and they are shocked to hear what we have to say about the Revival Act and the current Ali Act and how it affects us fighters.
Do you feel like when talking to guys either at the gym or just in the community about the culture of the sport? Because, listen, boxing is Wild West, and there's certainly a ton of belts that people always say, hey, maybe there's too many belts, and there's, what's the true undisputed? But then it's also kind of cool to see everybody gather them together. Do you feel like the prestige of being in a new league, is that something that fighters are interested in? As idea of being whatever the Zuffa TKO champion, whatever they're trying to make, like, do you think that's something that's going to be looked upon as like the same honor as a world champion? Where, in UFC, like in MMA, like there's a lot of good promotions, but everybody wants to be the UFC champion. Like it comes
I
with
know.
prestige. I don't necessarily know if that can happen in boxing. I'm not saying that can't, but I don't know what it would take to break that kind of, meaning to fighters who fight their entire lives to be world champions and to fans acknowledging that like that's the best fighter in the world.
So, I mean, you brought up a great point with the UFC, the UFC belt. So the biggest thing here is that we know what this system would look like if their Revival Act actually passes. We know what the system looks like because the monopoly is here now. We can see the monopoly now, and that monopoly is the UFC. And the reason that the UFC is able to monopolize the sport of MMA, because if you ask a street walker what about MMA, they'll only know the UFC. A lot of them will only know about the UFC. They won't know about the PFL, Bellator, like all the other organizations that are in MMA. They know about the UFC. And that's a monopoly. And they want to bring that to boxing. They want to make Zuffa, the Zuffa title, the belt to hold in boxing. When there's, like you said, there's centuries of history in boxing. And they've got belts in boxing, the WBC, the WBA, the IBF, the WBO. Those belts have been known for years and years and years, longer than MMA has even been a sport. So you can't just wipe away the history of boxing and replace it with something brand new just because you want to take advantage of the fighters. It's that kind of stuff just doesn't happen. But right now, Zuffa's taking the world by storm. They're signing all the top-level competition. They've got the money and the resources to do that. But that's how monopolies are made, by exactly what they're doing right now.
So what's your next step? Like, what is the next thing that you're going towards this in fighting? You say, like, obviously they're going to have the political backing. Is there anything fans can do, message that you want to get out as far as what you see as the next step of this? I know that you were pa very passionate that even if this passes, you would like it to be under at least a new name, because you don't believe it reflects what your grandfather's legacy was.
It's tough because we're fighting an uphill battle. Even Oscar De La Hoya said that for the hearing that we went to, we were walking into a buzzsaw, he said. So we're definitely fighting against the wind here. We kind of know what's going to happen because due to like the political pressure, and it's not always about what you know, but maybe who you know. And it's tough, but I won't go down without a fight. And I believe that the biggest thing that people can do to support this is just be intelligent on the matter. Be well-versed on what's going on, because I don't have to tell you and other fighters, you have to support me. You have to support keeping the Ali Act. I don't have to say that, because all fighters will want that. If they know the truth about what the Ali Act is and what the Revival Act is, they're all going to side with what I'm fighting for. They may be afraid to say it, but the truth is, no fighter wants to be taken advantage of. No fighter wants to have their freedoms taken away. And that's exactly what would happen if this Revival Act passes. So I'm just trying to spread as much knowledge on the matter as I can while I can.
Well, we appreciate it, Nico Ali Walsh. You're doing good work, and you obviously have been very informed. I saw that you were recently named an ambassador for justice by the WBC. That's a pretty cool honor for yourself.
Yes,
What did
sir.
that mean to you?
No, that's huge. WBC Cares just made me an ambassador. And I think it's amazing because not my last fight, but the fight before last, it was the 50th anniversary of the Thrill in Manila. So I was in Manila and we got to visit a children's hospital in Manila. And I believe that, I mean, of course the children were sick and they just needed any good spirit, something to cheer them up. So I went and I bought a bunch of toys for them. We gave toys, and then the WBC Cares was there, sponsoring the event, if you want to call it that. And they purchased, the WBC Cares purchased food and drinks and everything, and it became a whole event. And I want to be a part of those kinds of humanitarian events.
I know you probably get asked about your grandfather all the time. I'm curious, just from this perspective, though, being involved with something like this, and because of how much social justice was important to him, does this connect you in any way different? Like, did you figure, ask family about different things and stuff like that? Like, more about like the out of the ring stuff that he was a part of. Has that changed in any way for you over the last few weeks or months?
That's a great question. I've always looked up as my grandfather as a hero, and it was mainly due to what he did outside of the ring. When he stood up for our religion, he was a proud Muslim. I'm a proud Muslim, and he just instilled that he gave us dignity, he gave us a voice, and he gave us something to be proud of. So I just want to follow in that footsteps. Of course, I want to be world champion. I want to be as great as he was in the ring. I want to be better than he was in the ring, but it's more important to me to follow in his footsteps outside of the ring. Because that I believe is what will matter most at the end of the day.
Well, I appreciate it, Nico. Thanks for giving our audience some time, man, and best of luck along the way and the rest of your career as well, man. Thank you so much, and we'll be rooting for you.
Thank you. Thank you.